Eventually, the laws of nature, if you will, were going to wear out. It's kind of funny in a sense where you have people that have money, and it's okay if you want to get, chopped up and nipped and tucked and put all back together. And some of them, they can't even close their mouth anymore because they just... Botox. And you know what? I don't see anything wrong with trying to have a good appearance. I think sometimes people spend too much time on their appearance and too much money on their appearance. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, they're not taking care of the most important part of themselves. And that is the inner man. That part in you that is eternal, that will live forever. And so, you and I in Christ are trees of righteousness. We are in right standing with God because of what Christ has accomplished for us in the redemption at the cross. Because of forgiveness and reconciliation, we've been brought back into a right relationship with the Father God. He declares us His children, and we are righteous in His sight. And so, we as trees need also to continue to grow. Because if you do not keep growing yourself, you don't keep feeding on Christ, feeding on the Word. Come on. You start to get old spiritually. You start to wither spiritually. Come on, am I preaching today? Yes. This is true. Jesus says, every branch that does not abide in me eventually will be cut off. It'll be discarded. It's no good because it cannot produce fruit unless it continues to abide in Him. And folks, as long as we are alive, we need to be growing spiritually. We grow physically for a short season, and then it's a matter of withering. But every day, you and I can walk in new life. Every day, you and I can come to the source who is life, Jesus Christ, and receive life. Amen? To be fresh, to be alive, to be young in the Spirit. Yes. Even though our outward man may be perishing, that inward man is being renewed day by day. But we've got to come and we've got to drink of the water of life, or we'll end up withering like a shrub. If we begin to shift away from trusting God and begin to just trust in others to get us through, you're going to find you have no roots in your life. And when man eventually lets you down, everybody have any friends that let you down? Everybody has. And friends will let you down at times, but God does not. God is always faithful, always true, always looking out for your best interests. God loves you. He's in love with you. And so we must continue to draw from His life that we might live. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He's speaking of a spiritual union that we have been granted, amen, in Christ. That we can come to Him confidently, boldly, to the throne of grace because of Jesus and what He's done in our redemption and how His blood covers us. And now we can come and say, Father, I need help. Father, once again, I need to drink. Father, once again, I need your strength. Father, I ask you to lift me up with you in heavenly places. Lord, I need you to refresh my spirit. You don't have to die. You don't have to get old. Spiritually, you can be brand new every day. You can be fresh every day. How many like fresh fruit? How many have ever eaten a banana that sat in the bowl a long time? Now, some people might like that. It may be good in a cake, baked. However, we desire freshness in our lives. Father wants His people to be refreshed in Him, to come to Him and drink, to live, to make Him their life. Jesus is my life. In Him I live. I abide in Him. He abides in me. And as I do that, I bear fruit. I'm refreshed in His presence. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. That means puts confidence and hope in the Lord. Now we know, according to 2 Corinthians 4:18, that the things that are seen are passing away. And it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Oh, it's easy to live by what we can feel, by what we can touch, right? By what we can see. But the superior reality is the invisible reality, folks. And so we don't look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Interesting. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now in Hebrews 13 and 14 it says, here we have no continuing city, but we're seeking one to come. No matter how much you try to camp out, how much you try to, if you will, plant yourself in this world, it's temporary. Whether you're a believer or not, this world is temporary. And very quickly, the days are going by. We look back and say, what has happened to the time? When we look in the mirror, we say, oh my word, what has happened to the time? Now, if I looked at you, I wasn't trying to be personal about that. But folks, we as believers in Jesus and Messiah are pilgrims on a journey. This is not our eternal home. This body is not our eternal home. Amen? There is a home in the heavens not made by hands. God has prepared a place for us that where He is, we're also going to be someday. And He's coming again, and we need to be ready. We need to be that virgin that has prepared herself, has kept herself, that is longing and looking for the return of her bridegroom. Because He's made us something beautiful for you. And we don't see the full revelation, but God is renewing us. And He's moving us on from glory to glory. Folks, we are campers. And I hope that we're happy campers. This is not our permanent dwelling. Some of God's promises are, you know, are not, we're not going to see in our lifetime. Others we will. I know we all want to see all the promises now. But that's not the reality of it. How many know that people that prepare for the future are ready for the future? I'll say it again. How many of us prepare for our earthly future? I didn't see a single hand go up. You didn't have to raise your hand. Maybe you are. Come on. Now this is a word for me. We prepare for our earthly future. Would you say amen? Amen. But do we prepare for our heavenly eternal future? What is most important? If you try to settle on the journey, you can miss the promises of God. If you do not keep fluid, keep moving with the Spirit, stay in tune with what God is doing, what God is saying, you can miss His promises. We are to fix our eyes on the prize. We're looking at You, Jesus. We're going for You, Jesus. You're our exceeding great reward. You're our future. You're the joy that's waiting at the end. We're campers. And while we're camping, God makes provision for us so we can be happy in Him. We can be blessed in Him. Blessed is the man who puts their hope and their confidence and their trust in God. Why? Because they're the ones that are going to be drawn from the living water, who is Jesus Christ. They will be fresh. They will not weary in a year of drought. But their leaf will be green. And whatever they do, it says, shall prosper. Why? Because He is our source. When we put our faith and our trust and put all our eggs into this life, folks, like so many, even in the church, do. They come and they do their Sunday ritual, they do their routine, but they're not really keeping their eyes on the purposes of God. They're living just for this life, and in so many cases, folks have just been drowned in perdition. Come on, they've been choked by the cares of this world, by the riches of this life even. And they're not bearing fruit unto eternal life because they're bogged down in temporary things that are passing away. Who should we really be living for with our full passion, with our full heart? We're living for eternity. We're living. We're looking forward to that city that God has prepared. We're camping. We're pilgrims. In Hebrews 11, the mothers and fathers of faith, they looked ahead to what God had promised. They didn't see the promises fulfilled in their lives, folks. They didn't live for this present world, but for the world to come, the world without end. That was the world that they were living for, the world without end. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And so in Hebrews 11:13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's who we are. We're aliens. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. This is not our permanent dwelling place. God provides a dwelling place here for a season. But we need to understand that we are on a journey and we're marching to Zion. Amen? We cannot afford to live our lives for temporary gratification. Instant gratification. What can I get now? How can I be filled now? How can I find temporary pleasure now? How many know the greatest pleasure of all is He? So many have been just seduced away by seducing spirits that have told them that there are so many other things that this world has to offer that you'll never find in God. A lot of young people have bought into that as well. They believe that the pursuit of worldly things is going to somehow satisfy them. And if the devil can dupe you long enough, he will cause you to lose and spend your entire life. Come on. Living in vain living. Living for something that's going to pass away rather than living for eternity. Beloved, 1 Peter 2:11, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Folks, don't forget who you are. Amen? Why you're here and where you're going. This is not our home. Someday, every knee will bow. and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We bow now. We bow now before Him and we declare Jesus is Lord. And the day comes when the Lord calls us home. He says, I know you. I recognize you. You bear my likeness. You have been transformed to my image. Your name is in the book. That's right. I want to hear Jesus say, well done. Because we have not settled too deeply into this world. We simply put our tent pegs down. Amen? For a season. And then it's time to pull them up and to move on. When God says move, it's time to move. Because if you try to camp out in yesterday, when God has moved on, guess what? You begin to get old. You stop growing. You cannot grow unless you abide in Him. We can wither up. Believers wither up. How many can believe that believers can wither up? Man, I've been in too many places where I've seen people that have been saints for 40, 50 years. I use that word loosely, saints. Years. And there's no freshness there. It's all stale. But then I look around here and people that love His presence, that get into God's river, that abide in Him. And even though they may be perishing on the outside, there's a sweetness, there's a freshness, there's something precious going on in the inside. There is a manifestation of fruit, of love and joy and peace and the good qualities of Christ that are being manifested. And so it doesn't matter what you may be looking like on the outside, you can be looking really good on the inside. And that's the most important part. That's the part that lives forever. So work on that part. Make that part beautiful. Take good care of your heart. So we're campers, not settlers. Now in Leviticus chapter 23, it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. This is a Hebrew feast. And every worshiper lived in a sukkah or a booth, and they would basically camp out under the stars. And the reason for this was God wanted them to remember the days when they had journeyed in the wilderness, that they were living in temporary dwellings. So during this Feast of Tabernacles, they will erect these booths. It's called the Feast of Booths also, and it's a temporary dwelling. Why? Because it is talking about something that is temporary. That their time in the wilderness was temporary. They were on their way to the promised land. The promised land speaks of heaven, folks. The temporary dwelling speaks of our time now here in this world. That we are a pilgrim people. We are sojourners. We're moving through. We are not living for this world, but we are looking for that which will come. We were living for that world, amen? We're living for the King and for His purposes. We are here to serve Jesus Christ. You're here for a reason. God wants you to surrender your life. God wants you to serve Him. Hallelujah. Why? Because God wants you to bear fruit. Because that will be in your account in heaven. Yeah. He's got a divine piggy bank, folks. I'll tell you what. There's something reserved in the heavens for you. As you serve unto the Lord in the simple things of obedience every day, even as He's given you assignments to do, and you're faithful, and you keep in Him, and you stay fresh in Him, guess what? You'll never be unfruitful. It doesn't matter if there's a drought going on around you. You have access to the living waters. Yes. Hallelujah. And you and I, as individuals, if we stay in the water, if we stay in the river, and we continue to stay there and we come together, guess what? That river turns into a torrent of life. And even though you may come into a situation that is dead, hopefully never here, but maybe where you work, in some cases maybe where you live, I don't know. But there may be deadness there. You are the tree of life. You are that tree that should bear good fruit, that they're going to look and say, I want what they have. I'm tired of living in the parched land. I'm like that shrub in the desert that has no roots. It's dried up. It's withered. It's thirsty. And they are having a good time. They are refreshed in God. They're a fruit-bearing tree. And it's not stale fruit either. It's fresh fruit. If we stop feeding on Him, we stop growing. And when we stop growing, we fail to bear the type of fruit that Father desires of us. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these are the mothers and fathers of faith that laid an example of what it is to live as a pilgrim people, to live towards that which would come, to see the promises, maybe not in their lifetime, but eventually they know, because of God's character, God's faithfulness, that there would be a treasure in heaven reserved for them. They were living for that world which was coming. Let us lay aside every weight. Folks, get rid of all the baggage. Get rid of the non-essentials. Get rid of the stuff out of your life that just chokes you and bogs you down and keeps you preoccupied with temporary living so that you might bear fruit unto eternal life. Are you hearing me today? This life will soon be past. Soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And yes, we're going to die. And I do believe, folks, that exercise and good nutrition are important. Right? We should do the best we can to take care of our body. But understand this, that the most important part of you is the part that we don't see. And that's the part that you really need to make sure is healthy. Amen? That is eating a good diet. That what you meditate, you think on, you dwell on, you speak on. Amen? You're in the Word. You're in the heart of God. Amen? That part of you, that invisible part, that's the eternal part of you. Make sure that you're making that part of you beautiful. That you're being beautified in Him. And that you will bear His image, the imprint of His heart on you. God wants you so much to bear fruit. And He knows, folks, that there are many temptations, many snares, many things in this world that pull at us, that try to draw us away. Am I speaking to myself today? Or we've got to get a hold of this today, folks. Let this not be just another message. Are you hearing me today? We are called to a higher purpose. We are called to an eternal purpose. We have been saved for a purpose. God gives us His Spirit for a purpose, not just for goosebumps, but so that we might do the works that Jesus did, that we may declare the kingdom. Amen? That we may bear fruit, that we may destroy the works of the devil, that we may heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, that we may do what Jesus told us to do. And we cannot do that unless we abide in Him. We cannot do that if we are distracted and we are being choked by inferior things. Cast off every weight and the sin. God points that out to us. He does a good job at that, doesn't He? And there's a reason for that. Because God doesn't do it to condemn you. God points out your sin because He wants to heal you. Because He wants to set you free. Because He wants to remove that from your life so that you'll be healthy. He is a master gardener. He knows exactly what it takes to make us healthy. Amen? So we come into a place of fruitfulness. We shall be like that tree planted by the waters. that spreads forth its roots by the stream. And whatever we do, amen, shall prosper. It doesn't matter what conditions are going on around you, folks. There is a place of refuge, a place of refreshment in the Spirit. I'm alive. In the Spirit, I can fly. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Coming up to where I belong. Seated above all earthly confusion. Spirit of confusion, amen, that comes on at times. Get into the glory zone. Get into the God zone. Press into the heart of Father God. Let Him refresh you. Let Him break that stuff off you. Let Him set you free. So that you're encumbered and you can spread your branches and you can bear fruit. We've got to get away, and I saw this recently, from this thing to this thing. To love. To forgive. To serve. It ain't all about us, folks. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:16, even though our outward man may be perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. In the Lord, we are never to stop growing. Yes. So because our inward man is the most important part of us, we need to make sure that we are giving the most attention to the most important part of us. Please. I don't know how much time we have left. The trumpet could sound. Jesus could say, enough. Enough. I'm coming for my church. And He told us to watch, to be watchful in prayer, to stay awake, and to occupy until He comes. He didn't say settle. He said occupy. We're camping. This is a temporary dwelling. This is not our real home. We're looking for that world without end. We're looking for a city in the heavens, not made by the hands of man, but a place that God has prepared for us. And Jesus said, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. But do what? Store up your treasures in heaven. It's time that we shake off those things that are encumbering us, that are hindering us. Get rid of the weights. Take an evaluation. Get on your face before God and say, God, show me. Whatever it is, Lord, if there's anything that is hindering me, whatever it is that's coming between you and I or your purposes being accomplished, reveal it to me. I want it out of my life. I want to be free of it. I want to be rid of it. So I can run the race with perseverance as I set my eyes on the prize. As I'm looking, Jesus, I'm going to live for you. You know, people who are able to see things yet not seen are people what you may call visionary. They're able to get a picture in their mind of something, and then they start to take steps to get there. Right? Entrepreneurs, people who are successful in business, they have a goal. They set goals. And then they take the steps to reach that goal. Do they see it? They see it only in their mind's eye. But they know that if they can have a vision, and it's something that is attainable, how many know that God has a vision for you? God has a plan for you. God wants to prosper you. God wants to give you, amen, an inheritance in the heavens. You've got to be able to see that, folks. You've got to keep your eyes on where you're going. You've got to realize who you really are, that you are a spirit in a temporary body. And this physical life is actually an inferior life because it's passing away. The spiritual part of you, the inner man, is that eternal part that we need to feed and nourish and focus on. Amen? That makes sure that we are in alignment with Father God. And that we receive from Father God His vision, His purpose for my life. Would you agree with me today that there is nothing more important than the will of God for your life? Are you willing to go to that place with Him where you're going to wait on God until you receive clear direction from Him? Amen. That may mean you need to fast and you need to pray. Amen? You're definitely going to need to pray. But we need to receive an assignment from God. We need to get His vision. Because you can't run towards a goal if you don't see it. And the reason why people are not running the race is because they've got their eyes on temporary things. So we get our eyes on that which is above, where Christ is seated. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, and abounding in it with thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because God's desire is this. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To comfort those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty. To make you beautiful in His sight. For ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is God's desire for you folks. Is to make you beautiful. To comfort you. To give you oil of joy. To give you His joy. And a garment of praise in place of the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Hallelujah. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided that I'm going to live for eternity. I have decided that I'm going to commit my life to Him and for His glory. I'm going to live for eternity. I'm going to have my sights on eternity, amen? I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to have my treasure in heaven, hallelujah. I'm going to live for that which is about to come. And in the meantime, God will refresh you in the booths along the way. As you're camping out, you can be a happy camper. Why? Because He's given you water from the rock. He's given you provision. He's given you food, amen, to eat. And His food is Christ. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. So we're drinking from the streams of living water. Happy now am I. My soul they satisfy. We have a privilege as His people to come and drink freely. Of the water of life. I know you've sat a long time. I hope you've been enjoying this as much as I have. But God really stirred my heart with this. That He wants to, once again, just to kind of, hello, don't waste your time on vain living. Get a hold of Me and My purpose for your life. I will show you the way. I will give you clear direction and vision. And when you see that, folks, and you really get that vision in your heart because you are pursuing Jesus Christ, you will be able to run with endurance. You will be able to go for it with a passion, a holy passion. What is it that keeps us hungry and thirsty? It's a sense within us that apart from Him, we can do nothing. That we're poor in spirit. We're thirsty for Him because we realize that unless we drink of Him, then we begin to get old. We begin to wither. The fruit doesn't come. Life actually gets stinky, doesn't it? But when we stay fresh, fresh in the Spirit, you have been given an opportunity and a privilege wherever you are to tap in to His eternal resources, to tap into the heart of God and to feed on He who is life and be young and vibrant and fresh in the Lord. And even though we're dying on the outside, that inward man is being renewed day by day, being made beautiful, being, amen, made into the likeness. And folks, when this body falls off, who you really are will be known then.